From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? Welcome to another fantastic edition of Current Sports on this Thursday. That's right, folks. It is already Thursday. Friday is almost here. Then the weekend, man. Stick with it, folks. Stick with it. The work week is flying by. I can't believe it's Thursday already. But, man, oh, man, we have a great show in store for you all. I'm excited about it. As we each and every Thursday we do here on the show, we give you guys a Current Sports TV sneak peek preview of our guest for the week. So in just a moment, you're going to get to hear from the man, the myth, the legend. Yes, Terry Hesbrook, head coach of the Ithaca football team. You don't want to miss that. We'll also bring to you DeAndre Carter's motivational moment when he brings you a motivational moment with a sports twist. And this week, he's going to give, an NFL twist hitting on Joe Flacco. We'll explain. It's going to be a good one, folks. You don't want to miss that. We'll also talk about Brian Hoyer, the Cleveland Cavaliers, Throwback Thursday, and so much more. But hey, as custom here on the show, yeah, you know who's going to talk next. Alex Sharg is here with your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners.
Good afternoon and happy Thursday. I'm Alex Sharg, and these are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners for Thursday, August 7th. The son of former U of M safety Clarence Thompson, who lettered from 1993 to 95 and was all Big Ten as a senior, gave MSU head coach Mark D'Antonio a commitment after visiting practice Wednesday. Linebacker Tyreek Thompson tweeted, quote, "Blessed and proud to say that I am officially committed to Michigan State University. Go Green," end quote. U of M offered the 6'1", 215-pound Thompson in January, and he also had offers from Nebraska, Wisconsin, Iowa, Pittsburgh, and many others before becoming the 13th verbal for MSU's class of 2015. Keeping it in the family went totally out the window with this one. The Wolverines, on the other hand, got a commitment from Cass Tech running back Mike Weber, the number one ranked player in the state of the 2015 class. Weber tweeted the news around 9:15 p.m. Wednesday, saying, quote, "I have officially committed to the University of Michigan, #GoBlue," end quote. It included a drawing of him in Michigan Stadium, of him in a number 25 jersey, and the tagline, quote, "You have 115,109 fans waiting for you," end quote. The tagline may be from his offer, as it has Brady Hoke's signature in the lower right corner. At 5'10", 205 pounds, Weber is a four-star recruit and ranked as the state's number one prospect in 2015 by Raffles.com. Chris Capuano outpitched Justin Verlander last night, and Brian McCann and Chase Headley each homered to put the New York Yankees past the Detroit Tigers 5-1 last night. The Yankees have taken 2-3 in the four-game series and went 2-for-1 against past three AL Cy Young Award winners. Derek Jeter singled for his 3,429th career hit and needs one more hit to tie Honus Wagner for sixth place on the all-time hits list. The Tigers and Yanks wrap up the four-game series today. In a couple of minutes at 1:05 p.m., Rick Porcello and Shane Green take the mound. Lions tight end Eric Ebron may have to wait another week to make his preseason debut. Ebron, the Lions' first-round pick, missed Wednesday's open practice at Ford Field with an undisclosed injury. Lions coach Jim Caldwell acknowledged he could miss Saturday's preseason opener against the Cleveland Browns. Ebron did not talk to reporters Wednesday as a member of the Lions' media relations staff shepherded them off the field. One guy who will be playing in the Lions preseason game is former Spartan quarterback Brian Hoyer. The team announced it will start Hoyer over highly coveted first-round pick Johnny Manziel. Hoyer started three games for the Browns last year while compiling 615 yards and five touchdowns. And it was more good news for a different Brian today. The NHL announced that 40-year-old defenseman Brian Rafalski will be inducted into the 2014 U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame. The defenseman won three Stanley Cups, including one in Detroit from 2008, He also collected two Olympic silver medals with Team USA. And the deal that everyone was waiting for officially happened. The Cavaliers have reportedly agreed to acquire Kevin Love from the Timberwolves in exchange for first-round pick Andrew Wiggins, former number one pick Anthony Bennett, and a projected 2015 first-round pick. However, the trade cannot be completed until August 23rd, when it hits 1 month from Andrew Wiggins' signed rookie contract. And finally, the PGA Championship at Valhalla begins today. Tiger Woods, who left early at Bridgestone, will be competing. He says his back feels better and that, quote, I'm pain-free except for the headache of talking to you guys, end quote. He teed off with Phil Mickelson and Patrick Harrington this morning. American Kevin Chappell leads with 5 under par so far in the first round. And those are your current sports quick hit headliners for Thursday, August 7th. Time to send it back to Al to start the show. Lines are now open.
All right, thanks a lot, Alex, for those quick hit headliners. Man, oh man, I'm looking at the PGA Championship leaderboard as we speak. Of course, my man Tiger Woods, who many speculated whether or not he'll be able to play in the PGA Championship due to his injury at the WGC Bridgestone over the weekend, back injury, that is. But he looked fine and has decided to participate in the PGA Championship. And right now, just to give you guys a quick Tiger tracker update, he is three over right now. The leader is 5 under. That's right, -5. Lee Westwood and Kevin Chappell lead that. So, yeah, not looking good for Tiger right now. He started off pretty bad. Actually had 2 bogeys to start and then birdied the 16th. Has rallied a few pars and then decided to bogey on the back nine on the first and second hole. So, oh, man, he has, since he's done that, he's had 4 straight pars. So Tiger not looking too good right now, but man, oh man, I tell you what, the man hasn't won a major since dinosaurs walked the earth, so I'm not surprised that he is struggling as we speak. So we'll give you guys an update on the PGA Championship on how that's going on throughout today's current sports. We'll also give you an update on the Tigers game. That's right, they play at 1:05 p.m. against New York Yankees, so that first pitch should have just been thrown right now, so we'll let you know how that one progresses as well. And again, our phone lines will be open, as Alex said, throughout this entire hour. If you want to call in and talk about anything that is on your noggin, you know that number, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Just some of the talking points we'll be talking about. We'll talk about Brian Hoyer, former MSU QB, who has been named as the starter for this weekend's Detroit Lions opening preseason game against the Cleveland Browns. That's going to be an interesting discussion there. And as you just heard from Alex, the Cleveland Cavaliers have agreed to terms with the Minnesota Timberwolves to acquire Kevin Love. That now beefs up the Cavs pretty nicely for LeBron James and company. So now you have some dynamic guards and LeBron James, who can also play forward as well, and also Kyrie Irving. And now you bring a big man like Kevin Love to the mix. He just got to play some defense, but I'm sure that'll happen as he, you know, is acquired from the Minnesota Timberwolves. That was really the only knock on Kevin Love, was his defense. Offensively, we know the man can score. So we'll talk about that as well. And also, hey, folks, it's also Thursday, where we take a look at what happened on this Thursday in sports history. And I can kind of give you guys a preview on that one. I tell you what, a legend in the world of baseball who sadly passed away not too long ago. He definitely had a hallmark day on this August 7th in sports history. All that and so much more. Again, folks, that number to dial is 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. And you know what? Throughout these past few weeks on Current Sports, we have really been diving into the whole Ray Rice situation. You know, Ray Rice is a guy who, you know, was involved in a domestic violence dispute with his then fiance. You know, when they got, you know, something happened in an elevator. The video wasn't released to the media, but something happened in an elevator. He was caught on camera coming out of the elevator with his fiance as she was just really limp and laid out and just incoherent. It really got Ray Rice in a lot of trouble and just a big domestic violence dispute that many felt as though the NFL handled very, very poorly. The NFL only handing down a 2-game suspension for Ray Rice. And I tell you what, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell, he certainly stuck to his guns and said that, hey, you know, based on instances in the past, this punishment for a 2-game suspension for Ray Rice, this punishment, you know, was, you know, equaled along the lines of our consistent punishments in the past when you talk about a domestic violence situation like this. So, you know, it's so interesting to see how that discussion just really took off nationally. I mean, you couldn't turn on your TV or radio without hearing about this, about Ray Rice and you know, the suspension and how many felt the NFL was just a little too light when it came to Ray Rice's punishment in that situation. So, and even, you know, going beyond the NFL, I talked about how Nick Saban, he brought in a domestic violence counsel to come in and talk to his Alabama team during preseason training camp that is going on right now. And, you know, it just really just many people throughout the nation just harping on domestic violence, especially when it comes to athletes. And this is a really unfortunate story right here. You would think with all of the hoopla surrounding that, the players, you know, especially those in the pros, would, you know, just have more of a red light on how they handle themselves and their situations at home with their significant other. And Greg Oden, I don't know if you guys saw this, but Greg Oden, who was, of course, a former number one pick in the NBA draft, who went through a lot of injury problems and ended up signing a deal with the Miami Heat last season. But Greg Oden was arrested in Indianapolis. Just reading the report here really briefly, guys. The police arrested former number one NBA draft pick Greg Oden on battery charges early this morning, actually, alleging that he punched his ex-girlfriend in the face during a fight at his mother's suburban Indianapolis home. Now, the free agent center who played, again, last season with the Miami Heat, he was taken into custody at home in Lawrence on two preliminary counts of misdemeanor battery. Oden was still in Marion County Jail as of early Thursday afternoon. And according to a Lawrence police report, officers were called to the home around 3:30 this morning and found a woman on a sofa with blood on her face. Now, a friend of the woman told officers that Oden had punched her in the face. Oden told officers that he and the woman recently broke up after dating for 2 years. He said during an argument in which, quote, things got out of control, end quote, he swung his arms trying to break free of two people holding him back and punched his ex-girlfriend. Now, that's according to the report. So, you know, just reading this story this morning as I prepared the, you know, preparing for the show and you know, the quick hit headliners and so on and so forth, and reading about this report, I just kind of shook my head and said, really? You know, again, you would think that Ray Rice situation caused so much hoopla, and again, it's a discussion that goes beyond the X's and O's, and just you would think that athletes would start to, you know, learn from that, learn from somebody else's mistake, and this clearly a situation where that is totally not the case. Again, Greg Oden arrested due to a domestic violence dispute with his girlfriend, saying, quote, things got out of control, and the report saying that he punched his now ex-girlfriend. Boy, I tell you, I don't know when athletes are going to get it, but man, oh man, I tell you what, it's unfortunate the ones that don't. All right, folks. Well, I tell you what, I'm excited tonight, because tonight is the premiere of our newest episode of Current Sports TV. It was a great time taping this episode with head coach of the Ithaca football team, Terry Hesbrook. Terry, again, he's such a classy guy. It was a great discussion talking with him. And if you know anything about the Ithaca football program, you know that they currently have the longest winning streak in high school 11-man football in the state of Michigan. It's at 56 right now, ladies and gents. And if you add up all of those wins, yeah, that means that this team is pretty good, and that also means that they've won four straight state championships. That's unbelievable. It's actually that streak of 56 straight wins is tied for the longest winning streak in the entire nation. Yes, that is in the entire nation, folks, in 11-man football. It's a team out in Iowa City that is actually tied with Ithaca. But it was great sitting down with Terry yesterday. And again, you can catch that episode tonight on each and every Thursday night, of course, on Current Sports TV, on WKR-TV, 10 p.m. You get to see that episode in its entirety. I got to give a shout-out to our live studio audience who showed up. We had a lot of kids, 36 kids to be exact, from the Oak Park YMCA right here in the Lansing area. That's on Lansing South Side. They were great kids, had a great time. So, you know, again, as custom here on the show, we give you guys a sneak preview. All of the dedicated Current Sports fans out there who tune into the radio show each and every weekday, we give you guys a sneak peek preview of the interview, the premiere interview for that night's Current Sports TV. And hey, we're going to play tonight's Current Sports TV interview with Terry. So here he is, and I had to ask Terry. I had to start off this interview by asking him, of course, and I'm sure he's been bogged down year after year after year about this discussion concerning the streak as it continues to grow. And I had to ask him, how much does he think about that incredible streak?
You know, I don't think we talk about it. I really don't think we talk about the streak, and I really don't think that we as a coaching staff or we as a football program worry about the streak. It's kind of become, you know, its own entity now, if that makes sense.
Right.
The community loves it. Our community, Ithaca community, they love the streak. They love to talk about it. Every time you go somewhere, they want to talk about it and how important it is to them. It's really brought our community very, very close together.
You know, we've talked in the past before, especially when we had you on last year on the radio show on WKAR AM 870, Monday through Friday, 1 to 2 p.m. Tune in, folks. I remember you talking about the streak. And, you know, you really saying, again, you mentioned the community and how much they rally behind it. And I got to ask you, when you do think about it, because obviously you do think about it, I mean, it's hard to ignore. You ever think about when it's going to end and what you'll do during that moment?
Well, I try not to be honest with you.
I realize
that it's going to end at some point. We're just going to try and put it off as long as we possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that when it does end, I think that with knowing me and knowing our coaching staff, knowing our players that are in our program,
right.
I think what we'll do is we'll just get right back to work.
Get right back to it.
And hopefully we'll start another streak.
I'm pretty sure you'll probably talk to your players as well about, you know, the entire tenure of that streak. And now just moving on from it. I mean, have you thought about what you would say? What would you say in that moment?
No, I really haven't. I hope that our community would just, you know, stand in unison and really salute what has been accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
If you think of all the great football programs in the state of Michigan and across the United States and to be considered, you know, on the same level as some of those great programs, it's really a humbling experience and quite an accomplishment that these players over the last 4 years have achieved.
Yes, it certainly is. Give it up for that, guys. That's great stuff. When you look at, you know, again, this really just remarkable program that you and your coaching staff have built in the extraordinary kids who have come through that program, do you guys feel any pressure from the community to keep it up?
Well, I think that we do get a little pressure from them. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, when you run into people downtown and they're, you know, they want to talk about the streak, as I mentioned, and you know, they'll say how important it is. What are you doing scheduling so and so? You know, that's a tough game.
So they're trying to argue.
The Clare Pioneers. You know, we play them week one, and that's going to be a tough game for us. There's no doubt.
But you don't shy away from that, right?
Well, we played Williamston High School the last 3 years, who's a Division IV school and been in the state championship in 2010, I don't think that, you know, we want to shy away from it. I like having that tough opening game because it really gets your players' attention in the offseason.
Yeah.
You know, you put that, you know, the countdown clock that we have in our weight room, we put that up there in January and let everybody know exactly how many days it is till kickoff and hours and minutes. And
right.
And when you see that, you know, you have a formidable opponent that's going to be standing there in front of you on game one,
right.
You know, I think it's real easy to motivate.
Certainly. Now, when you talk about your players, how do they deal with that pressure? Because, you know, they're the ones out there, you know, trying to make it happen, make what the formula that you've put together to be successful on this team. They're the ones out there and have to execute it. I mean, how do they deal with that? And what do you tell them?
Well, to not worry about it, to be honest with you. Every team is different, and every single team that we have, last year's group of seniors handled it very, very well. They're a very mature group of young men. They remained humble throughout the entire streak as they happened to be in high school their entire 4 years, you know, obviously that the streak has now existed. And they handled it really, really well. And I was very proud of the way that they handled that and the way they conduct themselves in the classroom, the way they conduct themselves in the hallway, on the court in basketball season or on the track or on the baseball diamond. It's very, very important to us that we do things the right way at Ithaca. And I'm very proud of our players. And I think that this team moving forward this year will do the same.
Yes, character is so important. I think that's a very important value that you certainly have instilled over there in Ithaca. Now, you know, Terry, throughout your tenure with the Yellow Jackets, you have sent 12 players to play on collegiate ball now, you know, collegiate football. I mean, that's got to be very humbling for you when you look at those players and the success that they've had on the next level. I mean, what goes through your head when you do send a player to play
college? It makes me think about how lucky and how fortunate we are to have that type of talent,
yeah.
You know, in a small school district, only 400 kids in the high school, and have that type of talent walking the hallways and taking the field for us. So that's one thing. But I'm very, very proud of the fact that those players have got a chance to go on and play at the next level and ultimately get that degree. And that's what it's all about. And football was able to provide me with an opportunity,
right.
If that makes sense. And
right.
Now if that can help another player, provide them with an opportunity to make them have maybe a better life. I think that's really important. And I think we have to do all that we can do as coaches to help our players that are interested in getting to the next level.
when those former players who have played on that next level, as you just mentioned, when they come back and come in contact with you, Terry, what do they say to you? What do they express to you?
It's great because you usually get a hug, you know, and you know, that sounds true, right? It sounds silly, you know, being a grown man, but you get a hug from them, and they usually come up and say thank you, and they tell me I wish I had yelled at them a little more to prepare them for the college level.
But, it's another level,
that's
right?
That's a whole different level, that's right. Right. But we have a lot of them that come back and work out with us. They work out on the field with our players, and they work out in the weight room with our players, and I think that's huge. It's a huge mentoring program. Our older players really seem to understand, hey, it's, you know, it's my turn to give back, and it's my turn to help out those younger guys that are coming up through the program.
Terry, now, you know, looking at when you first came to Ithaca to where you are now, as far as recruiting goes, are you starting to see more recruits and scouts come out to your games and see, you know, just how has this powerhouse built to such dominance? And are you seeing more attention in that regard?
We certainly are. Seeing a lot more attention from the college coaches. I know it's not real popular here in East Lansing, but the University of Michigan stops in every year.
To
want to check in and see how we're doing, if we've got a player that can play at that level. And, you know, it's not very often that we do, but every now and then, you know, we do have somebody that can play at that level. As Travis Smith, our quarterback from last year, is moving on to play in the ACC for Wake Forest.
Right. That's great stuff. You know, and when you talk about, you know, this year's upcoming team, are there any players that you think that can turn some heads?
Well, I think we have a real small senior class, and we do have some very good players in that senior class. Dallas Reeser is a young man that really comes to mind that I think he's going to get an opportunity to play at the next level out of this year's senior class. He was a young man who broke his arm in the state championship game last year as a linebacker.
Right. Wow. So he's one of the ones on the target list, you think?
Yeah, I think he'll be somebody that a lot of coaches will be coming in and speaking to after they see some senior film.
That's great stuff. Boy, I tell you, man, I just really can't believe that it's almost around the corner. For you, as you prepare for another run at another state championship, this will be, if you do accomplish it, 5 in a row, right?
That's right.
Because you've won 4 now. I mean, and when you look at that tenure of 4 in a row, does any one of them stick out more than the other?
Well, I think the first one, you know, stands out a great deal to me personally, because it's so hard. It's so hard to get to that first state championship and to have your community and have your players and your coaches and everybody believe that we can do this. Mm-hmm. On a personal note, I think the third one, my quarterback Travis Smith was injured on the second play of the state championship game and was not able to return.
I remember being there.
And my nephew Logan had to go in and play quarterback.
Yes.
To have my two nephews, one playing defensive back and one playing quarterback for us in that game, and going on to win a championship, that was huge. They're all special, but I'll be honest with you, they're all special. And because you spend so much time with the players, and the players are special people. Mm-hmm. And I think I said this after last year's finals, these players that we've had, they're going to go on and do great things in this world. I honestly believe that.
That's great stuff. Give it up for that, guys. That's what it's all about, beyond the X's and O's, which we preach all the time here on Current Sports. Speaking of the players, all the players you've coached throughout your years with Ithaca, who's the best player you've ever coached?
Oh, man. We've been very fortunate. And the best player that we've ever coached since I've been the head coach. Mm-hmm. Can I have a tie?
You can have a tie. I will give you a tie. We'll give you a tie, Terry.
We've had some tremendous players at the quarterback. I hate to narrow it down to one. Right. I really do. Alex Niznak was special.
I was just about to say.
Travis Smith is special. Logan Hesbrook, Luke Capen, David Brown, Garrett Minyard.
I only gave you two for ties. All of those guys
I'm not
are
very
ties.
Good. I'm not very good at narrowing it down. There's been so many special players that we've had play for us, and that's really the secret. You know, you get really good players and get out of their way and let them do their thing.
That's what it's all about. All right, Terry, before we go to the 12th man, they have some great questions for you. Terry, you have a few announcements coming in the coming weeks.
Yes.
One that we don't want to let out the bag just yet, there is one that we can do right here on Current Sports. What is that announcement?
Well, we're very, very proud of the fact that we have signed an agreement with Adidas at Ithaca High School, and we are going to be exclusively an Adidas school over the next 3 years. Adidas approached us back in the spring and wanted to know, they couldn't believe that we didn't have a contract with somebody.
Right.
And so they are going to provide us with some promotional money up front, which is very important to me as the athletic director at Ithaca High School, and allow us to maybe provide our kids with some things that maybe we wouldn't otherwise be able to do. And our entire community will be able to save some money when you have to purchase equipment.
Right.
So they reached out to you guys.
Yes,
they did. Heard about. I'm pretty sure they heard about this.
Well,
so
they heard about it. Yeah, I have to admit they'd heard about it, and they called and they came in and met with us, and then I had them come back. It sounded too good to be true,
right?
And so I had them come back and meet with my superintendent Nathan Boots. Yeah. And when we got together, we're like, "Well, this is a no-brainer. It's like, why don't we do this?" And what an opportunity for a small school.
Really quickly, show the camera. I think you're rocking a shirt made by Adidas, right here, an Ithaca shirt, right?
Yep.
Adidas on the sleeve there. I mean, Adidas coming to you now. It's hard to put into words because this has been a roller coaster ride. I've seen where you've come and where you are right now. Terry, it's truly amazing. How do you capitalize this in one word for you?
In one word. I'm not very good at
one
word.
In one word. And why?
Amazing. It's been an amazing run. It's been an amazing, all the different opportunities. Having an opportunity to come down and be on your show. You know, this is really a special time for all of the people really in the community of Ithaca to enjoy this. And so many of our people travel across the United States or across Michigan, and they come back and tell me all the time, "Hey, I was wearing my Ithaca football shirt and I was approached by, you know, so-and-so and wanted to know about us." And it's been an amazing, amazing run.
It truly is remarkable. So talking about the Adidas deal, so are they going to be giving you guys equipment and all that kind of stuff?
Well, I don't really want to,
expose no
what it is that they're going to give us or what they're going to provide us with, but it was a no-brainer from our athletic department's perspective to move forward and sign an agreement with Adidas, and like I said, some promotional items up front that all of our coaching staff and all of our sports.
Right.
So all of our sports will be sporting Adidas apparel in the coming years.
Oh, that's great, great stuff. Well, I hope to cop me a shirt like that, an Adidas Ithaca football shirt. Gotta love that. All right, Terry, really quickly, before we get to 12th man, give us a short preview of this upcoming year's team, and will they be better than next year's? What do you think?
Will they be better than last year's?
Yeah, than last year's
team? That's going to be hard. We lost a tremendous amount of talent.
Right.
We have 14 returning letter winners. I don't know how many people are aware of this, but last year on our state championship team, we had 9 sophomores that were up with us the entire season. So really we're looking at this as their senior year as well. And then, you know, their actual senior year will kind of be like a fifth year like you would have at the college level. So we're very excited. They've worked very hard in the offseason. Our 7-on-7 season has went fantastic this summer. We've competed against some of the biggest and some of the best programs that Central Michigan area has to offer.
Right.
And we've done very well against them. So, you know, when we kind of have a saying, as many programs do, is, you know, it's now their time. It's, you know, those other guys are gone, and the program needs to, the show's got to go on, so to speak.
And you guys will be going to camp on Sunday, right?
Yes, sir. Can't wait. We leave at
1
o'clock. We're going to go about 4 hours north up to the lovely Bethel Youth Camp in Hawks, Michigan.
Right.
And we don't have any distractions up there. We get a chance to practice a lot and get really our entire offense put in and really bond, really come together as a team. You know, we stay in cabins, and it's kind
no
of a
no tweeting, no internet, none of that stuff, right?
Well, I'm not saying that. Those kids will have their phones. You know that. They'll have their phones with them. So.
Right. All right, Terry, you got 5 more minutes?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Stick around, my man, because the 12th man starts right now. All right, here we go. Well, Terry, it's our 12th man segment where we take questions from our 12th man, and that being our live studio audience here at the WKRTV studios. You ready, Terry?
I'm ready.
These are questions from the YMCA Oak Park. Here we go. First person, Michaela Teets from Lansing, Michigan. Michaela, welcome to the show, and what is your question?
What is your outlook on the Lions' upcoming game?
The Detroit Lions? Their upcoming game or their upcoming season? Their upcoming season, I'm very excited for the Detroit Lions, to be honest with you. I think that this is maybe one of those years that they break through and get to the playoffs and have a great season. Matt Stafford, I think, is an excellent quarterback.
He is, man. It's great. All right, thanks a lot, Michaela. Great question. I'm excited for the Lions, too, man. This is a big year, a lot of pressure on Matt as well. Give it up for Michaela, guys. All right. Okay, next question we have coming from Catherine Fringer from Holt, Michigan. How you doing, Catherine? What's your question?
If you could choose one player, collegiate or pro, to start a team with, who would it be and why?
One player, collegiate or pro, then I could start my team with.
It's a good question.
I might start with Tom Brady.
Tom Brady, and why?
And the reason is he's a winner. He's a proven winner. And I like winning.
Don't we all, right? Time is the epitome of that. Thanks a lot. Again, great question. Thanks a lot, Catherine. Get up for Catherine's question. That was great. All right, next question comes from Josiah Brooks from Lansing, Michigan. How you doing, Josiah, and what's your question?
Can you compare your coaching style to another coach?
compare my coaching style to one other coach, I would say that maybe a combination of Tom Izzo and Mark D'Antonio, you know, a mix maybe between the two of them. Okay. And if we go back a few years, and I don't know if the crowd will recognize Bill Cowher from the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Nice.
So it would be
okay. So picking that apart a little bit, what attributes do you take from Tom, and what attributes do you take from Mark?
Well, I like to think that I can be calm during a game when I need to, like D'Antonio.
Right.
But I also think that I got a little, you know, that passion that Izzo displays and Bill Cowher always displayed. I'm very enthusiastic as well during a game.
Gotta love that. Hey, that was a fantastic question, Josiah. Get up for Josiah. That was a great question. Okay, next question comes from Anthony Branson from Mason, Michigan. Anthony, what's your question?
Would you ever consider making the jump to college coaching?
That's a tough question. That's a really tough question. I have a young son who is only 11, and I would love the opportunity to coach him at Ithaca High School. So he's going into sixth grade, so that means that I would be a few years out. So I would never say never to the college level, but I certainly look forward to the opportunity of coaching my own son at Ithaca High School someday as well.
So there's a possibility after your son is, you know, after he comes through the ranks at Ithaca, that you could make that leap?
If the opportunity presented itself, I would have to look very hard at it. That's for sure, Al.
Oh, boy, only time will tell. Only time will tell. Well, that again, Terry Hesbrook, head coach of the Ithaca football team. That was our sneak peek preview here on Current Sports Radio of tonight's episode. You can catch it tonight at 10 p.m. on WKAR-TV. We'll also bring you coverage from the Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame. Talk about Kenny Kaminsky getting dismissed from the MSU program. Also, Keith Appling signed a summer deal with the Los Angeles Lakers. We'll talk about that as well and so much more. Again, catch it all tonight at 10 p.m. on WKAR-TV. Well, there has been some breaking news as well, folks, that we have to bring about here on Current Sports. The NCAA board has approved reforms that will give the Power Five conferences the ability to create their own rules. And yes, that does include the Big Ten being one of those conferences. We'll chat about that. And also, U.S. star Landon Donovan will retire from soccer at the end of the current MLS season. How about that? Breaking news, folks. Landon Donovan, one of the greatest soccer players to ever grace the field. Man, oh man, I tell you some big news, folks. Well, let's hit the break. When we come back, we'll talk about those big stories along with so much more. You don't want to touch that dial. Also, motivational. We have a motivational moment from DeAndre Carter coming right at you. Current Sports returns in just a sec.
The very thought of you. Forget to do.
Welcome back to Current Sports on this throwback Thursday, I should say. Who is that? Frank Sinatra, Alex?
Some Tony Bennett
thing. Oh, Tony Bennett. I'm sorry. Well, there you go. Some throwback music for you on this Thursday. Throwback Thursday is what we call it here on Current Sports. You know what, Alex? Before we get to our motivational moment with motivational speaker DeAndre Carter, definitely, as you heard before the first break, and you actually told me about this before I even looked at my phone, but the NCAA board has approved a reform that will give the Power Five conferences the ability to create their own rules. Now, this is a very intricate story because there's so many moving parts to it, but it is certainly a groundbreaking situation, to say the least. This has never before happened in the history of the NCAA. Now, looking at the report here, it says that the new governing structure clears the way for colleges to provide an unprecedented level of benefits to their athletes. Now, the next step will be for those Power Five conferences to form an agenda that can be voted on by the NCAA convention, which will take place next January, which isn't too far. 2015 isn't too far away. Now, part of that agenda will be providing the so-called, quote, full cost of attendance
increasing the value of a scholarship at a time when the NCAA is under significant legal and public scrutiny over college athletes' rights. So, you know, it kind of hits on that conversation when we talked about Northwestern unionizing and how that was such a game changer. This is becoming another layer to that, and it's going to be interesting to see how this thing is voted upon, and the next stage of the reform process will be certainly a delicate and complicated process because, I mean, how do you equate and what certain factors go into the full cost of attendance? That's still relatively in the early stages as to those intricate, you know, just kind of concrete processes as to what that, how that's defined, if you will. So it's going to be interesting, but this certainly breaks the ground on college athletes, college student athletes to, I guess you can say in their eyes, get their due.
Shatters the ground. Completely,
yeah,
shatters the
definitely
ground. Definitely. And with the new networks, the Big Ten Network and, you know, the new SEC Network and all the different media deals and coming out, this will totally impact that too.
Yeah,
whether you're sitting at home as a fan watching your favorite team, whether you're scrolling through the channels and you have to pay for maybe some extra ones as a part of your new sports package, it's all going to come back to home, and I can't wait to get into it next Wednesday on Barbershop.
Yeah, man, that's going to be I think that's a clear Barbershop Wednesday topic right there. And, yeah, the SEC Network will be coming to ESPN. That's coming soon. I think this month, right? That's crazy stuff, man. You know, I was kind of talking to a buddy of mine about, you know, how just equating it to the Big Ten Network and how it's going to be different. Well, I think the Big Ten Network, I think that's Fox Sports' baby. So Fox owns the Big Ten Network and ESPN, which is the worldwide leader. They own the SEC Network. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, just kind of compare and contrast the differences in both of them. So it's going to be interesting to see how all that plays out, though. But, yeah, that definitely cracks open the door. Again, folks, again, you can call in and give your thoughts on anything we talk about here on the show, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We will take your calls. Just to give you guys a quick update, if my browser loads here, it finally does. All right, a quick update on the Tigers game. The Tigers, of course, are wrapping up their four-game series against the New York Yankees after falling last night. The Detroit ties to try to escape this series, you know, with a 2-2 split. And right now, it's in the second inning. Detroit and New York, neither team has scored. It's 0-0. Nada to nada. Things are still notched up there. And as far as the PGA Championship is concerned, Lee Westwood is leading things right there. He has just finished up his round along with Kevin Chappell. And, hey, both of them are tied at the top of the leaderboard at 6-under. Tiger Woods, if you're wondering, he is 3-over and has made now 6 straight pars on Thursday's round one, and has really had a day that he's really just struggled in his first round at Valhalla. So there you have that. Well, you know, Alex, I love this segment because on Current Sports, we're all about positive vibes and just kind of motivating people. Just, you know, we're always talking each and every Monday at the beginning of the week, hey, have a great work week, you know, attack life with a vengeance and go after your goals, man. It's certainly a you know, models that we live by and I love to preach whenever I'm talking to kids, you know, from around the area or back home in Detroit. I love that stuff, man. And, you know, we love motivating people here, and we decided to bring a motivational twist segment here on Current Sports entitled Motivational Moments with DeAndre Carter. Now, DeAndre Carter is a motivational speaker right here on the campus of Michigan State University. He is really getting a huge following. He's just launched his website. He's always active on social media. He's always, you know, talking to different organizations throughout the area. I mean, he's just a motivational guy, and he always comes with a motivational, a motivational moment, if you will. And we decided to bring it here to Current Sports. Again, it's entitled Motivational Moments with DeAndre Carter, and we give it a sports twist. DeAndre gives it a sports twist. And on this week's motivational moment, he decided to talk about Joe Flacco. Now, if you remember in Super Bowl 47, yes, the Ravens getting that big, big Super Bowl win. It was Ray Lewis's final year. Joe Flacco came out and he had an unbelievable game. Was actually named Super Bowl MVP during that game. And, you know, there's so many layers to that story because it was a contract year for Joe in which he was kind of debating on whether to sign a contract or to wait it out and prove that he's worth more than the money that was being offered. So much more, you know, to that story. But, you know, DeAndre's going to break it down. And, you know, without further ado, here it is, DeAndre Carter's motivational moment right here on Current Sports.
It's really what makes a team and forms a team, a Super Bowl champion team. We've been put through those situations. So when they come up, you know, we don't know if we're going to be successful in them, but the bottom line is we don't, you know, the moment doesn't get too big. We're comfortable. We've been there before, and we've failed before. We've succeeded before.
There are moments in your life when the person who's supposed to believe in you does not believe in you. The person who's seen you at your best has also seen you at your worst. What do you believe about yourself in those moments? That's the question I'm sure that Joe Flacco had to ask himself. He was in the last year of his contract. A lot of people said he needed to sign a deal to make sure he had guaranteed money moving into his future because you just never know how things are going to play out. But Joe Flacco knew one thing, that when you know your value and you've seen things that other people haven't seen yet, bet on yourself. See, sometimes in life, whether you gamble or not, you got to be willing to bet on you, that I believe I can do it. I believe I'm capable. I know I can come through when it counts most. So let's talk for a minute about this Super Bowl season for the Baltimore Ravens. Because as a diehard Steeler fan, part of me is dying right now even having to talk about this, but there are lessons to learn. So here's the deal. That team struggled down the stretch. That team lost 5 out of 7 down the stretch. But when it came playoff time, Joe Cool delivered the goods. It was money time for him. And he was rewarded by winning the Super Bowl MVP and signing the contract that no one else would have ever given him before the season had started. Yes, he signed a $120 million contract with $52 million guaranteed, all because he was willing to bet on himself even when others didn't believe in him. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to bet on yourself? Are you willing to look at challenges straight in the face and say, I can do it even if no one else believes that I can? You'll have to work hard. You'll have to put in your time. You'll have to trust teammates and trust other people around you. But at the end of the day, you need to look in the mirror, stare yourself squarely in the eyes and say, I got this. I'm willing to bet on myself. Thank you for listening to this motivational moment with DeAndre Carter on Current Sports with Al Martin. For more motivational moments, you can find us at www.deandrecarter.com under Motivational Moments. You can also follow me on social media, on Instagram at DC Greatness, on Twitter at DC Inspires, and on Facebook at DeAndre Carter. We are here to inspire you. Be prepared to be great.
Oh, man. I don't know about you, Alex. I am pumped. Oh, man. That is great stuff. Bet on yourself, having the confidence to believe in your best. I think that was a great example, too, because you remember that year when, you know, right before the Ravens won the Super Bowl, Alex. I mean, it was a contract year for Flacco, and he was debating on whether or not to take the contract. And, you know, it was great because he has a quote here, quote, I didn't sign last year because I thought I was worth more. He goes on to become the Super Bowl MVP and signs a huge contract. Oh, that's a perfect moment right there to set up that one. Thanks a lot, DC. You heard how to follow him. Again, Motivational Moments with DeAndre Carter. If you have a moment that you would like DeAndre to talk about, you can do so by suggesting that moment by going to facebook.com/currentsports and also tweeting me at Al Martin, WKAR. Okay, well, Alex, let's hit the second break. When we come back, we have a lot to talk about. We're bringing you Throwback Thursday. We'll talk a little Brian Hoyer being named as starter for this weekend's preseason game against the Lions, and also the Cleveland Cavaliers decide to acquire Kevin Love. How about that? All of that and so much more. Do not touch that dial.
I love you. Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Well, Alex, let's dive into it. My man, Brian Hoyer, former Michigan State quarterback, has been named as the Cleveland Browns' starter for this weekend's preseason game, opening preseason game for the Detroit Lions, I should say. It's going to be an exciting game. I'm excited to see football on my television once again. Got a little taste of it during the Hall of Fame game this weekend, but now we get to see our coveted Lions hit the field against a highly talked about team due to, of course, yeah, Johnny Football. There's a quarterback controversy, if you will, between Brian Hoyer and Johnny Football. Were you surprised Brian was named a starter this week for this weekend, Alex?
It makes sense, and I wasn't too surprised because, yeah, he didn't play all 16 games last year in terms of Hoyer, and his stats weren't all that great. But you want to put the rookie in his place. You know, he's coming in with this big, you know, big supporting base. He's got tons of fans. You know, you want to show him that you have to earn that starting role, and knowing the system takes time in the NFL.
Yeah, you know, when I wasn't surprised either, but I do think eventually Johnny Football will become the starter of the Browns'
it's preseason.
Yeah, it's preseason. And, you know, I was looking here, and the Browns actually want to name their starter during the third preseason game. By the third preseason game for the Cleveland Browns. So these two preseason games leading up to that are going to be definitely going to hold a lot of weight. And I was looking at a report here that Johnny Football will see a little bit of time with the starting squad, as well as Brian Hoyer, obviously, because he's starting. But, you know, I think Johnny Football and the hoopla surrounding him, and, you know, him leading jersey sales in the NFL, and you know, just sort of a added buzz with him being on this team now. And if they want to put butts in the seats, it's all about the Benjamins, man, and fans definitely want to see what Johnny Football has to offer, and they want to see him out there on the field. So I think eventually it will happen. Whether he'll be the starter at the beginning of the season, I don't know. I think that Brian may still be the starter at the beginning of the season. Then as the season trickles on, it all depends on the type of success that Brian has. So there's certainly a lot of pressure, if not more. I think there's arguably more pressure on the back of Brian Hoyer to keep his job than it is for Johnny Football to have success in his first year in the NFL.
There may be, but regardless if it's Brian Hoyer keeping his job, he still has a significant contract with the Browns. You know, regardless of getting that number one QB position, he's still a consistent backup. And that's a position in the NFL that increasingly, over the years, has been growing as a role spot.
Yeah, but
just
you
being
know,
a backup quarterback.
Yeah, but Brian Hoyer has voiced that he doesn't want to be the backup.
Yeah,
he
no one wants to be a backup.
Exactly. He wants the starting job. I mean, he's going at it with the kid. Looking at the reports, you know, looking at the numerous reports in training camp, the players aren't too impressed with Johnny Football right off the bat. So Brian certainly is leading. And right now, if we had to call who's leading this match right now, Brian Hoyer is certainly leading the match right now as far as being the starter. But eventually, Benjamin, I always say this, it's all about the Benjamins, baby. It's all about money, you know, money talks. And if people are coming to the, people are going to the games to see Johnny Football play, hey, you got to get the people what you want eventually. And I think that's exactly what's going to happen. Now, let's say Brian Hoyer starts the season again. If he starts out the season and is lights out, and there's no question that Johnny, you know, can't even equate to the level of success that Brian is having at the beginning of the year, then Brian will be the guy. And that's why I think, I mean, again, nobody wants to be that backup guy. I understand what you're saying. Being a backup, you know, guy in the NFL, it's all cool. You're still getting a check at the end of the day, but you're not the man. You know, longevity doesn't last too long if you're a backup in the NFL. So Brian wants that job, and he has to prove that he does deserve that job on the brink of this season. So it's going to be interesting to see how this dynamic plays out because – you know, the storyline is that, hey, Johnny Football is the guy. He had an incredible college career. He's a Heisman Trophy winner. He parties too much off the field. I mean, you can't turn on your TV without hearing Johnny Football at least once. Brian has to deal with that. And it's a double-edged sword with him because he has to deal with the hoopla about Johnny Football. But he also has to go out there on the field and perform and show that he's better than him.
Yeah, but at the same time, he's not only just playing for Johnny Football. You know, as much as you're playing for that number one spot against Johnny, he's still playing to win as a Brown and as a team. And he'll do whatever means necessary. If it's being a solid number two, if it's coming in if he gets hurt, I think he'll be accepting of that.
Not off the bat. Losing your job to a rookie, that doesn't feel good. I don't care who you are. If he loses his job to Johnny Football, which I think is going to happen eventually, you better believe that Brian Hoyer –
is going to be not ecstatic about it. He's going to be upset, and deservingly so. I mean, it's just like somebody coming here and taking your job. You know what I mean? If somebody came here and took your job, how would you feel?
I'd be a little upset, but it's best for the team.
We'll see if that's the case, though, because I haven't seen Johnny Football play on the next level yet. We do have a small sample size of Brian Hoyer last season, so we have to see who's the better man. At the end of the day, the better man is going to get the job. Who that is, hey, that's yet to be seen
all
yet.
Right, we'll
so,
see.
And I think that's how it should be. So, all right. Well, and also big news in the world of sports happened to be something that broke this morning. The Cavs acquiring. Now, it's not official yet because, again, Andrew Wiggins' contract still has to expire and so on and so forth. But it's being reported that this is pretty much done. It's in the books. Kevin Love will be a Cleveland Cavalier next year.
Al, as you like to say,
yeah,
my grandma saw this coming.
Yeah, everybody saw this coming. I mean, no, this is not surprising at all. You know, and it now gives the Cavs, you know, a big man thread that you know, is also one of the elite players in the NBA. He can take you inside. He can take you outside. Again, I hear it all the time. You know, Kevin Love doesn't play defense. He doesn't play defense. Let's be honest here. You know, he's throughout his career in the NBA, he has been a defensive slouch. But I think a move like this, when you're playing with LeBron James, who pushes you to be better, when you're playing for championships now and you have a legit championship team and core around you, hey, you adjust your game and you better believe he's going to be hiking up those shorts and playing a little bit more defense than he was in Minnesota. So I like the move personally. I think Andrew Wiggins will be a solid player in the NBA, and yep. Now he's playing with a chip on his shoulder. It's going to be a battle. I think it's going to be a two-head battle between him and Jabari Parker for Rookie of the Year. It's going to be fun to watch those two play. So don't think it's because Andrew Wiggins, you know, is not playing with the best player in the game right now that Andrew is just going to kind of fade into the, you know, to the spotlight now and become just an average player in this league. Andrew Wiggins will be a superstar. I guarantee it.
Good point about the chip on the shoulder, but a bigger chip must be on Anthony Bennett. He's getting undershadowed in this deal completely. Also, former number one pick in a draft where no one was there. They were debating if they should even take Bennett or even trade away the number one pick. No one really wanted Bennett, if you remember that draft the year before. So he's got a big chip on his shoulder, too. And so honestly, Al, I'm a little surprised. I thought it would just be Wiggins in a first rounder. I did not see Bennett as being a part of that deal.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's kind of an added incentive to make the deal happen. But even, yeah, I didn't either. I mean, just you think a number one overall pick in Andrew Wiggins would be enough to acquire a guy like Kevin Love. But, you know, they threw Bennett in the bunch. But, Bennett, you know, looking at last year, who was also, he was the 2013 number one pick. So now they get two number one picks, you know, with this deal, you know, with Minnesota now. And, you know, Bennett, you know, he didn't turn any heads last year. And a lot of that has to do with a plethora of other reasons. But, you know, he averaged, 4 points a game last year? And
right.
I think he was plagued with some injuries.
Not a playmaker.
Right, not a playmaker. So he didn't turn a lot of heads. And to be honest, that 2013 class did not turn a lot of heads. I mean, you had, Oladipo, Trey Burke showed some shining light here and there, but that 2013 class was not that impressive. So, again, I was surprised that Bennett was thrown in that deal as well. So, looking at his numbers and his productivity last year, it's not like, you know, it's not like the Cavs are losing a lot here in losing Bennett, I feel. So, they're gaining a lot with Love, though. So, interesting stuff. All right, well, we have less than 10 minutes left. Alice, let's get to our Throwback Thursday.
But the Detroit Pistons have just shocked the Los Angeles Lakers. Eisenman back over his step. Into the spot for Brown. Shoots. Yes. And there it goes. You never know when to expect it. Darren McCarty said before.
All right, it is Throwback Thursday, where we take a look at what happened on this Thursday in sports history. Well, this Thursday is August 7th. Hey, Alex, let's take a trip back in time and look at what has happened in this day in sports. I don't know if you have any, but I guess I can kick it off right now. In 1907, Senator pitcher Walter Johnson won his first major league game by defeating the Indians 7-2. Walter Perry Johnson is a famed name. He was nicknamed Barney in the Big Train. He was a right-handed pitcher. He was a great, great player, one of the most celebrated and dominant players in baseball history. Again, Walter Perry Johnson, again, won his first major league game, defeating the Indians 7-2. Hats off to Walter there. In 1965, Britain's Jim Clark won his fifth consecutive Grand Prix.
How about that? That is very, very impressive. It's hard enough to just win one, but five straight? That's insane in the membrane. So that took place in 1965. In 1985, a five-year agreement between the Major League Baseball Players Union and team owners ended a two-day mid-season player strike, and the season resumed the next day. So that took place in 85. Again, there was a strike going on, and that five-year agreement took place, and it resumed the next day. So there you have that. 1999. How about this? Tony Gwynn, of course, who just sadly passed away not too long ago. But Tony Gwynn of the San Diego Padres, they call him Mr. San Diego, Mr. Padre. You hear it all the time when you talk about Tony Gwynn. He got his 3,000th career hit. And you know what? You know, at this past ESPYs, we talked about the ESPYs here a little bit right. When it took place, Alex. I really wish, and I really think they should have honored Tony Gwynn more.
Yeah. It's a good point.
Yeah. That really, really surprised me. You know, Tony Gwynn, he's a famed name in baseball. And looking at all of his charitable work that he did, you know, when he coached in college and had, you know, his unbelievable, unbelievable major league career, one of the greatest of all time, I was just really expecting the ESPYs to really, you know, kind of just go gung-ho for Tony Gwynn. But I think he just got like a mention when they, you know, when they mentioned the players who have passed in the past year. I think his name was just mentioned at the very end of that whole scroll. And that was about it, man. So, but yeah, on this day, though, in 1999, Tony Gwynn got his 3,000th career hit. How about that? Alex, you have any more?
Yeah, in 2006, Tiger Woods won his 50th career title at the Buick.
The Buick Open.
Local. Over Jim Furyk.
Those were the good days.
And the reason I brought that up, just because Tiger today, as we talked about a little bit before, not doing too hot, huh?
No, not at all, man. It's just depressing watching him right now. And Tiger, you know, it's my favorite athlete, man. I am the biggest, one of the biggest Tiger Woods fans you'll ever meet.
Alter ego, and Al Woods.
Yeah, exactly. That's my alter ego there. And, you know, he looks as though he just finished up. As you just were running down the you know, that rundown there for Tiger winning the Buick back in the day, Tiger finishes up his round shooting a 74. He finished with seven straight pars to shoot a three over. But I tell you what, that's well off the pace of the leaderboard right now. The leaderboard, again, looks as, you know, Lee Westwood and Kevin Chappell. Hey, they're six under right now, you know, and Tiger is three over. It's going to take a miracle. I don't know. It's going to take a miracle. But again, it is not looking good for Tiger Woods. If you had to pick a player, Alex, just off the top of your head, who you think is going to pull this thing out, man, at the PGA Championship?
Ooh, man. You know, you like Sergio just because of what he did last week, you know, streaky golfing.
Mm-hmm.
Man. I cannot even tell you, Al. You know, this one's so up in the air. I mean, just looking at the leaderboard right now.
Yeah, Lee Westwood. I didn't think
Kevin Paschal at the top. Yeah. Lee Westwood. You know, those guys aren't usually up there that high. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I'll give you a prediction tomorrow. How about that?
Gotcha. We'll do that tomorrow. If I had to say, I am going to go. I think Jim Furyk pulls this out. It's going to be between Jim Furyk for me and Adam Scott. I'm going to go with those.
Adam Scott fell apart last Bridgestone, man.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah,
the Bridgestone.
But he always, it's the thing about Adam, though. Adam can play, you know, relatively average during an average tournament, you know, throughout the PGA season. But when the majors comes, I don't know. It seems as though Adam Scott just turns it on. He turns it to another gear. He's always done that.
Now that you mentioned turning to another gear, I'm going to make a pick. I'm going to say Phil Mickelson at 2-under right
really?
Now.
Really?
He's in ninth right now, 2-under.
Okay.
He's been very quiet this year.
Yeah, silent.
Comes pretty big when it comes to a big championship or a big open like this. I like Phil.
Okay, all right. And, you know, it's funny because Phil and Tiger played together today. So I'm pretty sure they kind of added to Tiger's anger seeing how well Phil played today and how poorly Tiger played today. So, all right, folks. Well, we are out of time, ladies and gents. But, hey, you can join us same time, same place tomorrow here on Current Sports. And tomorrow, I'm excited. We have Carlton Valentine, the man, the myth, the legend. Yes, he has returned to coach the Lansing Sexton boys basketball team. He'll talk about why he decided to return and, what he expects from his team next year and how that all this story came about. So you don't want to miss that. Again, catch Current Sports TV tonight at 10 p.m. on WKAR-TV with guest Terry Hesbrook. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing. As always, take care. Have a fantastic Thursday. And, hey, be easy, people.